Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
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 You are tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Triple Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and airways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and pray that all is well in your family circle, and I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. And I would just like to take this podium at this time and to just send out condolences to all of you that has lost loved ones. Hallelujah. We know that we lost some Americans in that bombing on last evening, I'll say, because it wasn't yesterday, but it was last evening. And so I would like to just send condolences out to those of you that had loved ones out there in that area. And then I'd also like to send out condolences to those of you that loved one might have been ill for a presumably long time. And so they have lost their battle maybe with, you know, terminal illness. I just want to send my condolences out to you and to let you know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement and that you have men and women that are praying for you and with you, that God will restore and bring about restoration. And I just want to thank those of you that continually to tune in to the Old Ship of Zion. Hallelujah. And God is going to bless you for doing so. I just want you to continually to listen in to the Old Ship of Zion, because there will be continued throughout this year new sermons. As God give them unto me, I will pass them along to you, my listener. And so I just want to take this opportunity to thank you from the depths of my very soul. And may God just bless you abundantly. And I would just like to ask those of you, if you will, to go with me. We're going to now go into our intro prayer. We always come across these skyways and airways with a reference unto God. And we know that some of you may not know him, but I'd like to present to some and introduce to others. His name is Jesus. He is a native, hallelujah, of Nazareth, yet he was born in Bethlehem. And he's going to come after us one of these old historical days. But until that time come, hallelujah, we're just going to keep on with our hand held to the plow. And so I'm just asking those of you that will to just bow your heads as we go down right now and acknowledge our Lord and our Savior at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity once again, God, around this spectrum. For we know that this earthly soil, God, that we're treading on is not our eternal destination. But we know that you have a home, hallelujah, that you have already lying in waiting, God. And until that time come, God, we will continue in your will, in your way. We will continue to mount up before the four corners from the north, south, east, and west, God, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. Able me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you, the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of wisdom, words of encouragement to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. Father God, we'd be so mindful to give your name all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' marvelous mighty name, we pray. And let the assembly of God say, amen and Amen. Hallelujah. And I just want you to get your digital devices and bring them aboard. Bring your iPhone, your tablets and your laptops and all your digital toys and bring them aboard, because we are in need of them. Hallelujah. And we just like you just to come along and get comfortable. I know by this time, hopefully you're just in your leisure clothing. So I just want you to get close to your radio dial. And I just want to thank you for allowing me into your living room space. Thank you for allowing me into your work area. Then I also want to graciously thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old ship of Zion on your podcast dial. And I just thank you once again for tuning in on this morning. And I will be with you 40 minutes. I'm already 50 seconds into my program. And so I will be with you, though, 45 minutes. I'm not going to be long on this morning. But I just want to bring the divine word of life unto you this morning. And so I sermon on this morning entitled Christ-Centered Faith. I want to say that again. Christ-Centered Faith. And we're going to take our first key scripture, and it reads like this. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Colossians 2 and 6. All right, we're going to move on down to our second key scripture, and it reads this. Put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Colossians 3 and 12. Hallelujah. And so we know that in this life, we know sometimes we encounter so many, look like trials and tribulations, so many horrific events unfolding every day before yours and mine and our eyes and our ears, until it looks like it's just too much to absorb in at one time. But we know that it's all in God's plan. And we just have to know that whatever that take place in our lives, in the world, that is all in God's timing. It's nothing that's accidental or coincidental, but it's all in God's guiding. God has to stamp his approval on it. Because I don't care what the enemy tries to bring your way, God has to have the final say-so. I don't care if you have gotten a doctor report and he says that you have terminal cancer. He's given you a year to live. Well, I want you to tear that report up, and I want you to start believing the report of the Lord, because the Bible tells me 39 stripes. By 39 stripes, Jesus took 39 lashes across his back. And he says, by my stripes, you are healed. And so I want you to believe the report of the Lord. Even though we know that the doctor went to school to identify what goes on with us and in our bodies and what have you, but we know that there is also a spiritual great physician that we can turn to, that we can cry out to, and God will hear us. He says, all we have to do is just pray in sincerity. Hallelujah. Ask what you will. Ask in my name, and I shall give it to you. And I know my time is yet moving rapidly right along, so I've got a little bit more to cover. But anyway, like I said, don't worry about nothing, but pray about everything. We know that the devil is on the loose, and we know that his M.O. is to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal what you might ask overseer what? To steal your joy, steal your peace, steal your mind. We know that the devil is destroying people's mind, and they are doing things all outside of the box. We've heard about an individual parent that placed her baby in an oven. We know that that is not sane, but that's insane. That's an insane mind. And that's what the devil do. The devil come to steal and to kill and to destroy us, our family. He don't care anything about you and I. He don't care anything about our families. He don't care anything about our children. He don't care anything about anything. He just wants his way. And if he can use us in his plan, then he knows that he will have carried his plan out as he have wanted it to be. But we know that we can cry out to our Heavenly Father that sits high and he looks low. Hallelujah. Over the good and the not so good. And so we know that, you know, in this life, you know, we're talking about Christ-centered faith. And some Christian folks try to live from one dramatic mountaintop experience to another. We know that their relationship with the Lord is based on their feelings. At the moment, they go from feeling that they can, you know, do anything. Then they have this mindset of feeling insecure, like, hey, you know, I can't do it. I can't do this. You know, this is too difficult, you know. And we shouldn't have a relationship with God based on feelings. And you can go to one Bible conference and seminar to another Bible study. Try to maintain an emotional high. And we know that there are even Christians out there that feel sometime maybe weakening. As a result, they miss, hallelujah, the most of what's going on in the valley because they're waiting to get back to the mountaintop. And we know that what we can do to be an infectant believer in Christ, hallelujah, we can read about Paul in Colossians 2. He said, being Christ-centered is the answer. And he said that having received Christ Jesus by faith, we are instructed to continue to walk in him by faith through both the high and the lows of life. So we know what whatever go on in our life, because as long as we exist, tend to exist here on planet Earth, we will be going through trials and tribulations. But we cannot on the back burner. We cannot put our faith in a suitcase and put it up under a bed. But we got to hold on to our faith. See, that's just like our ticket to going to get on the plane. You know, you have to have your plane ticket, your itinerary of where you're going, your destination, what time the plane is going to take off, what time the plane is going to get to its destination, and then the time that you're going to return. So that's the same thing it is with a Christ-centered faith. We have to hold on to that ticket of faith. We got to hold on to that faith and never let go of God's unchanging hands, no matter what principalities come up against you and I. We got to believe, continually to believe on the divine word of God. Take God at his word. And when we can't track him down, we can just believe him at his word. Hallelujah. We know by walking in close fellowship with him each day, you and I become rooted and build up in him and established in our faith. We grow steadily into maturity as we focus on Christ and what he has done for you and I already. And not based on yours and mine and our feelings. Hallelujah. We know that the mountaintop experience can be beneficial, but nothing is more possible than an ongoing Christ-centered lifestyle of faith. Because we know that if we walk with faith in Christ, we can walk each day accepting all that comes, yours and mine and our way. So let us view each task at hand as being his divine command. Hallelujah. We know that the true faith need no feelings to rest upon, because we have his word. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. So we know that when we can't trust Tyrone, when we can't trust our husband, when we can't trust our wives, when we can't trust our children, when we can't trust our insurance salesman, when we can't trust our so-called friends, we can trust Jesus because we got his word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And I know I got to keep on moving. Hallelujah, because I got a little bit more to cover. And we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about the wisdom and the Christ faith that Jesus had. So we're going to go into the law of Luke 2 and 52. So just let us take a glimpse of the glory and the humility of Christ. We know that even with Jesus as a young boy, he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. We know that as Jesus matured, that he grew in wisdom and in understanding of the nature and the heavenly things and of his specific missions and purpose. See, when we know where we stand in God, we won't have a timid faith. We believe today, but tomorrow I'm not so sure. I'm sure of God's word today, but and then, you know, when we're faced with trials and tribulations and setbacks and booby traps that the enemy has set before you and I, then our faith seems to bust a move. But see, we need to keep our faith intact. We need to have a Christ-centered faith. That's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about a Christ-centered faith. Trust God when we can't trace him. Trust him and take him at his word. Because we know God's word will not come back, V-O-I-D. It will not come back, return unto you and I and us, back void. So like I said, Luke shows him confident the minds of the teachers as he sat in the temple. Hallelujah, listening to them and asking questions. And we know that these learned men were astonished at his understanding of the scripture. And we're talking about Jesus. But he says that as wise and mature as Jesus was, and though he was beginning to comprehend who he was and the scope of his mission, he humbled himself when his parents scolded him for causing them to worry because he had been missing for several days. He submitted himself to their authority. But we're told that Christian maturity results in a greater wisdom. But that is not cause for pride or arrogance. On the contrary, as you and I increase in wisdom, we realize that our strength lies not in our ability, but rather in the ability of Jesus Christ, who lived with you and I and us. And as we study the Bible, we can find that meekness and humility, as well as wisdom and attributes of Christian maturity, as Jesus increased our wisdom and our understanding of him, our stature in life may be elevated. People may look upon us and rely on our wisdom. We may grow in the favor with God and man. But as Christian men and women, our strength and growth should be exemplified by meekness, humbleness and kindness and forgiveness toward others. That is the true sign of wisdom. And we're talking about Christ-centered faith. Hallelujah. And so we know that even though, you know, things seem to be hard in our lives, it should be, you know, difficulty financially. You know, we're having a financially setback, financial dilemma in our lives. You know, and look like nothing is going right. But one thing about it, we can trust God. Well, we can't trust nobody else. We can trust God. Take God at his word. Make up in your mind today that you're going to trust God. You say, God, I'm not going to be a down Thomas, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take you at your word. Because you know, whenever you've asked God to bring you out of circumstance, you know God has brought you out. You didn't know how you was going to come out of that lawsuit that was filed against you. You didn't know how you was going to come out of that ticket that you were speeding and you got a $200 or $300 or $400 fine and you didn't know how you was going to pay it. You don't know how. You didn't have the money. You said, God, I don't have the money to pay for this ticket. Bless me, God. And God enabled you that he put favor with you in the judge. and the judge throwed it out. Hallelujah. And see, that's what kind of faith I'm talking about. I'm reminded that my son told me, I think it was yesterday, that he had to go down for a court, a hearing on a speeding ticket that he had encountered. And he said that he had to get up early and to go down because he had a long distance and wished to drive. And he said, Mom said, I remember how you told me. You said, Mom, you know, you always, you know, when you go to court, you dress up, put your best clothes on and look your best and act your best and be on your best behavior, you know, when you're talking with government officials, you know. And so told me, he said, Mom, and I did what you told me. I remember what you told me as a young child. And so I did what you told me. I put my good clothes on and I went to the court. And so the officer that initially gave him the ticket was supposed to been there as well. But my son said that he had prayed. So I prayed, Mom, you know, before I got there and everything. And turns out that the officer that initially gave him the speeding ticket was no longer employed with that department. He had went on to another company. And so the judge told him that I am throwing this out. And he called me on the phone and told me the good news. And I was just so happy and elated because I know that when you pray, God will hear your prayer. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. All God is looking for you is to trust him and to call on him. God wants us to depend on him. He don't want us to depend on nobody else. He don't even want us to get too dependent even on our husbands. He don't want us to get too dependent on our wives. He don't want us to get too dependent on our caregiver. He don't want us to get too dependent on our doctor. He don't want us to get too dependent on our business partner. But God is wanting us to rely wholly and solely on him. That's what we're talking about. We are talking about a Christ-centered kind of faith on this morning. Hallelujah. And so, like I said, I got to keep on moving because that clock is moving rapidly. So we're told, I was just going to reiterate on this second key scripture, or the first key scripture, I'm sorry. And it says, as you therefore have received Christ, Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, Colossians 2 and 6. And we know that some Christian folks try to live from one. I've said that already. I'm so sorry. So let me go back because I'm looking through. My light ain't so bright on this morning, kind of a semi-dim lighting. But anyway, I'm going to keep right on moving. But we'll go into the law of Ecclesiastes 9 and 8. And it states, it says, let your garment always be white. And you know, when I read that, I imagined for a moment that the author was given permission to wear white all year. But we're told that Solomon was not talking about fashion. He was instructing us to find joy in everything that you and I and us do and to express it in ways that show faith in God, even at times when life doesn't seem to make sense. And, you know, that's what we're living in. We're living in a society to where things don't even make sense. People are doing things just outside of the box. Look like they are not even thinking. They're just doing. And we know that that's just the attack because we know that Satan is on the loose. He's going to and for. That means he's going up and down, because God has not given him a lot of field in which to play in, so he don't have but just a little bit of space in which to maneuver. So he just got to make the best of what he got. But he don't have a lot of space, but he is walking to and for, trying to seek out and search out who he may devour. That means destroy. His M.O. is to kill, steal, and to destroy. To destroy your family, your life, your soul. He wants your soul to be lost because he knows his soul is doomed. So he wants everybody in his circle to be doomed. But I would tell that demon, you're not going to send my soul to hell. I'm going to serve God. Whatever I have to do to serve God, I'm going to do that. And see, if you do that, if just like you said, I'm going to work every day, you make it your effort to get in your car, on the bus, or ride share with somebody, and you go to your work, you be just that, you know, just that happy and elated to live for God. And though sometimes you might get off track, hey, get right back on track and keep right on going. Because we know that God is a forgiving God. And so it's nothing that you can do that God will not forgive you for. But it's as one exception. I will say it is one exception. And that's blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. That is one that he will not forgive you for. But all other sin, God will forgive you for. And so I'm going to move along because I know my time is about out. But I want to bring you a little hymn of Zion. But I'm going to read this completion of this here. Piece here, and then we're going to wrap it up for this morning. But anyway, but one way you and I can do this is to observe the fashion advice of the Apostle Paul. We know in the first century, Christians in Colossians had become confused. They were only concerned with man-made rules. So Paul reminded them of the holy laws of God and gave them these instructions. He said to put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. That scripture reading once again, coming out of love, Colossians 3 and 12. We know that these are the commands of the infinite God, not the rules of infinite humans. So if you and I and us put on these clothes every day, we'll never be out of season. And we can tell God, help us, O Lord, to live our lives so people clearly see the reflections of your loving heart, your kindness, purity. We know that Christ's likeness is always, always in season. And we now is going to end this program. I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged us in your correspondence. God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been Block Talk Radio. This program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence to P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. Our web address is www.JaniceWardMinistries.org. We're going to change now the dynamics of this program, turning you over to Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, I want you to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah.
My God is truly. I don't want to look back. heart you lift my head. So as long as you're with me, I know that I will be able to handle everything. There is no shame on me, Lord, you took everything. Righteousness flows from thee. It was your gift in me. Lord, I lift up with this. Show me your way. Take everything, nothing. Bring glory to your name. Take everything, God, bring glory to your name.
Yeah. Call him in the morning, call him in Hallelujah. Oh, man, teach me to sing.